it's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Welcome, welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. I am your host, and I am joined today by Penny Rich, personal chef of mine, I would say, and by sheer coincidence, County Commissioner. Thank you for joining us here at the Cooler.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You know what? Penny is also my senior elections correspondent, and we're going to talk about a number of things that seem like they might not necessarily be related, but it turns out sometimes things that aren't obviously related become related. It's like people meeting and falling in love, and then they become related, only different. So we're also going to talk about Hog Day. With all of the preparation and watching, and, you know, I watched the Weather Channel, like, obsessively for, like, a week waiting for Florence to get here.
Yeah.
Like the blind date you never wanted, and, you know, when's it going to get here? It totally escaped my notice because I was so happy not being without power for 10 days.
Right.
That I did not realize that Hog Day had to be postponed.
Right.
Because of the storm, which obviously was the right thing to do. Hog Day originally was in June was in June for years and years and years. You just recently got the More Than You Ever Wanted to Know history of Hog Day. When did Hog Day begin? Do you know?
Oh, goodness. I think they were celebrating, I want to say, their 27th year. Oh, my God.
Oh, is it that? Wow,
it could be
many?
A little bit longer. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have gotten that number down.
Okay,
we could check that during
late 80s, early 90s.
It
though.
Does, yeah.
I mean, I was thinking it didn't go back to the Civil War or anything.
No, no. It's been for quite some time. And I remember when I first moved here, it was still in June. And I remember bringing the kids up. And it was hot, but it was fine. It was a fun time.
Right.
Kids got to eat barbecue and run around on the grass and
it's a lot
take
of fun.
Their shoes off. Yeah.
It's a ton of fun, and you know, I've been to it many times, I've lived in Orange County enough, I guess, long enough that I don't remember when there wasn't Hog Day, but that doesn't mean it goes back to the dawn of time or anything. But the thing is, because sometimes that weekend in June, that second, I think it was like often around Father's Day weekend, I think.
Right.
And, you know, I think they extended it to 2 days. It used to be Hog Day, but then it became Hog Days. And sometimes that time of year these days can get really oppressively hot. It can be mid-90s. And it's really not that much fun to be. It's not like state fair weather. You know,
especially for the cooks, they're right there starting the night before to cook up the barbecue, and they have contests the next day to see, you know, who had the best recipe and all that.
Yeah.
So they're 24 hours over these hot stoves, and in June it might not have been
not so great.
Ideal.
Not so great. So they, a couple of years ago, moved it to schedule it into September, right?
So, it was with the Hillsborough Chamber for a while, and that was one of their biggest fundraisers for many, many years. And they did move it to September. And then the Chamber decided that it was really too much for them. They didn't have enough volunteers and people to organize it.
I remember this now,
and
yes.
And so there was a group that was formed called the Optimist Club that took over the Hog Day. And this is a couple of years ago. And they moved it out of downtown Hillsborough to Eflin. Into the Raritan Club over there. And they had it there for 2 years, and they realized that they missed having it downtown.
Yeah, they had. I'm sure, you know, when that's happening in Hillsborough, that occupies the entirety of downtown Hillsborough.
That's right.
Whether you want it to be or not, you're involved in Hog Day if you happen to traverse anywhere near downtown Hillsborough.
There's a ton of traffic. You really can't drive through Hillsborough smoothly. What we used to do is, of course, stop and park before you got to Hillsborough and then walk the rest of the way.
Right.
And then when the parking deck came in, of course, that's been there for a while. It makes it a little bit easier, right? So you park in the deck, you walk over.
Right, right.
But it does – you're right. It does take the entire downtown over.
Which in a way is great. It's like the First Fridays or Last Fridays.
Yeah,
You know, it's just a complete occupation of downtown. It brings everybody out.
Right.
That's just fantastic. This is almost entirely, unless you're trying to get through town in an ambulance, it's a great thing.
It is.
You know, or a fire truck.
It is.
It's a great, great thing.
Right. So when the hurricane came and put a damper on it, literally, they had to reschedule because it was literally canceled by Florence.
Right.
And so they scrambled to try and find some dates to reschedule it. And that's where we came up against the conflict.
Right. And so this is how we stumble into a story of when a hog met a voting booth and said, you know, knock, knock, who's there? Because it turns out that the organizers of this wonderful annual event, which will, of course, be wonderful again next year, our organizers wanted to schedule it for the first weekend in November,
right,
which is going to put it on the last Saturday of early voting. And that occurs at the Board of Elections among other locations.
That's right.
That occurs at the Board of Elections in Hillsborough on Cameron Street. And that's going to be a big problem.
It was a conflict. And by state statute, the Board of Elections must be open for early voting.
Right.
So there was not an option to move that early voting site. That
right.
early voting site had to remain there.
The other thing I read this recently, and I think this is new this year about early voting, is that you have to have the same hours at all the sites simultaneously.
And that was the General Assembly passed that. That was
right.
not something that we passed. So
right.
if the BOE is open, Board of Elections is open, that means that the other early voting sites, which is Carrboro and Town Hall, the Seymour Center, and then there's one up in Eflin.
Right. What's the name? And Chapel of the Cross on Franklin.
And Chapel of the Cross,
right,
yes.
The Eflin Rotan Club Building. And,
right.
And also they couldn't be open for 3 hours or 2 hours that were different hours. They have to be
That's
the
correct.
Same hours. So,
right. So it was a
thanks
challenge.
Thanks a lot, General Assembly, once more.
Right.
Thanks
it's,
again.
It's, we didn't do that. That was forced on us by the General Assembly,
right.
which turns out, for me, I think it's fine because it's less confusing.
Right.
Early hours across the board. But the conflict that I think the county commissioners had was the Hog Day folks had to come in and ask and get permission along with permits to use the county land.
Right.
We had discussions about it. We had a special meeting last night.
As we're recording, was October 9th.
October 9th, yes. I'm sorry.
That's right.
And as it turns out, the county commissioners felt strongly that our number one obligation to the residents in Orange County is to make sure that they can get to the polling places, they could vote, and there is nothing that can stop them or confuse them or impede in them getting to those places
right.
to vote.
Even the smell of barbecue,
which is
very distracting, as you probably know. Well, you know, I mean, the other thing is that the last day of early voting is also the last day that you can register to vote.
So
which is
important,
almost,
Gene.
It's almost more important.
So important. It is actually more important because you can't register to vote on election day.
Right.
So the last day of early voting is the last day you can register and vote at the same time.
Right.
And because people are really pumped up, and I'm sure we're going to get into that
yes.
More on the show. People
yes.
are really pumped up. We're expecting about 1,000 people each day on Friday and Saturday, the last 2 days at early voting, at the Board of Elections only. We're talking at the Board of Elections now.
Right.
1,000 people a day, each one of those days. You know, I'm sorry. We have to side on the citizens, side on the residents, and we have to be cautious.
I got to tell you, if I were a person who was in the business of selling barbecue, I'd be out there working that line, selling that barbecue, so those people can just, you know, get through having to stand in line to do what they need to do, or doing, you know, distributing water or whatever is necessary. Because you know, who knows what that weather is going to be.
Right.
So it's November. You think it won't be 90? It's North Carolina.
We still have our air conditioners on. It's October.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, who's in charge of this weather? Is that you?
Climate deniers?
Climate deniers? No, they deny that they're in charge of anything. Yeah, it's not their fault. No.
Okay.
Well, anyway, so we're going to talk in just a moment about when we come back. We're going to talk about what's going on, what's on the ballot, and how what this wave is going to be like. You know, we're hearing predictions all over the place about enthusiasm, lack of enthusiasm. And we're going to talk a little bit about rhetoric at the top of the political food chain and the effect that has had if any? I think probably that's a little bit oversold, but we'll talk about that with Commissioner Penny Rich, who's joining us here on the Weekend Water Cooler once again because it's the weekend. We're talking a little bit about water, and she's cooler than anybody I know. So I got it all done there in one thing. And you're listening. Wow, that was I think I pulled a muscle on that one. Yeah, so we're going to be back in just a moment. Stay with us. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Okay, we're back. We're back. It feels like we've been away for, I don't know, minutes. It's a long time. Anyway, we're back with Penny Rich, and we're talking about voting. Just want to follow up and clarify a little bit that Hog Day this year is now sadly canceled. The pigs everywhere are rejoicing, I guess, because they won't be on the grill, but. So Hog Day, thanks to our hurricane season and the hurricane that is voting in this particular election, is canceled, and we have next year to look forward to. And I know that the good folks of Orange County, all of us, will turn out bigger and better than ever next year. This year was to be Hog Day's 36th year. I think I'm right that way that it's the first time that the event has been canceled entirely because of conditions like this.
That's right. And I just want to say one thing. I said 27th. It's the 36th year. The county commissioners didn't cancel Hog Day. Florence canceled Hog Day.
Right.
The county commissioners voted last night to not have a conflict in early voting.
Right.
So our vote was to protect early voting. It wasn't necessarily to cancel Hog Day.
Right.
There were some other options that we presented that the Hog Day volunteers were not necessarily fond of. And we tried to work with them with some of the recommendations that we had made.
Right.
They also came and made some recommendations, which I really appreciate. They worked hard on it.
Right.
It didn't take it far enough away from the early voting. So I just want to make that clear.
And thank you for that. And I think, when you organize things like this, you've got 10,000 decisions to make, and a lot of them are pretty easy about, do we have balloons or, how do we do this? And what about the confetti? And those things are pretty obvious to work out. But then when it comes down to something like this, and it's difficult and you're rescheduling and you have to make that critical foundational decision about, maybe do we just cancel? And, instead of trying to, at least in your opinion as the organizer, trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. And sometimes it's just better to step back and say, we're going to lose money on this year, but we need to keep the event the way we had the event, and let's do it. Let's just do it next year.
Right.
For the 2 cents that it's worth, and maybe, I don't know what 2 cents is worth anymore, probably 2 cents. My personal preference would be to hold this event in April or even March because – a lot of times for us over the winter months, we have extended amounts of time where we have yucky, rainy, sometimes icy weather. We have stuff that gets canceled over the winter, and college basketball kind of brings everybody out a little bit in the spring. But I think everybody's itching for a kind of a picnic day, a field day, if you will. Field day for adults. That's a great way to think of Hog Day. To just get outside and have fun and enjoy being outside again because you've probably been through a winter of a little bit of snow, a little bit of mud, a little bit of rain and ice, and everybody's sick of the cold by then. It's hard to think of being sick of the cold
right now.
When we're so sick of the heat.
But I think April's a great idea,
and I'm
glad you said that because, we have so many festivals this time of the year that's why it's so hard to reschedule something.
It is.
When you have a hurricane come through and cancel something
everybody's trying to
who knows what's going to happen with this next hurricane, Michael.
Yeah, so, by the, and actually, we're recording this on Wednesday, and this hurricane, unlike Miss Florence, is apparently going to be pretty quick.
Right.
It may have already, you know, whipped through the area by the time we air over the weekend.
And I think that's right.
It's so, amazing.
Yeah. We could be, next time we get together, we could be talking about flooding again. And what are we going to do with Camelot Village? And, you know, what are we going to do with the flood zones and the storm water? So we'll save that for another day. But, you know, we have no control over the weather. And
by the way, when you have Hog Day, you know, back in its original site there, right along the Eno,
right?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be there with a lot of water,
dashing
through the area. So the water drives a lot of stuff around there, and can make such a mess. And of course, it can be dangerous, obviously, too. So anyway, we'll hope that turns out better next year. And let's talk for just a moment. Let's talk for many moments about voting. Let's talk about voting.
Yeah.
Despite the best efforts of our friends on the other side of the political aisle, there is going to be voting this year. And this year is the first year, if I'm correct, and I think I am. I always think I have, so, you know, you can ask my husband
about
that.
We'll go with it.
Yeah, I have lots and lots of testimony to that. I think this year is the first year that there's early voting on Sunday in Orange County.
That's right.
And
there's
going to be two Sundays of we just won't know what to do with ourselves for these two Sundays. So let me get my dates right. She stalled. The first Sunday for early voting starts on Wednesday, October 17th.
That's right.
That feels like it's 5 minutes away, doesn't it?
It is.
All of a sudden, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts on Wednesday, on the 17th. All the hours during the week, I think I have this right, are going to be 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., which
That's
is
correct.
Absolutely sensational.
Right.
I'm so happy to see that. And the two Sundays are Sunday the 21st, 1 to 3 p.m., and Sunday the 28th, also 1 to 3 p.m. at all five locations, the same hours. You know, I do think that was a good – I don't know that it necessarily had to be, you know – put into a law, but I think it's a good policy that if wherever that's possible that you do it that way. I think it's a shame that you can't offer some extended hours in certain locations if the demand
was there
and would have benefited folks.
Right, where the most of the folks are. But, you know, you're right. If you get online –
I was going to say, very next question, which is, I know that on Election Day, if you're in line, waiting to vote, as long as you're in line at the time that window of time closes,
you can vote.
Then you can vote.
And that's the same with early voting. And what I've seen it at Carrboro, the way that they worked it there is when the early voting was over. So say it ended at 1 o'clock, and I think that's what it was, at 1 o'clock.
Right.
One of the volunteer workers got at the back of the line.
Right.
And
No
one else can be after me.
Right.
So, but that person stood there. And so everyone in front of that person was able to go in and vote.
And that's in part to assure them that, you know, no, don't give up just because it's after 1 o'clock. Now.
Right. Right. And I agree with you. I think it is less confusing for folks to know that all the times are the same. So it'll work its way out. I am really excited about the two Sunday voting, early voting.
Yeah.
The NAACP is putting on some events where they're going to have some gospel music and some refreshments. And you can go on to the NAACP Chapel Hill website and you can see that.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. They're celebrating because it was the Souls to the Polls always happened. Not here, but it happened in other places where folks would go to church and, you know, they'd all join together and either walk to the polling places or get rides.
Or they had buses and stuff.
Or
and
buses.
They would bring folks.
Right.
And,
so this is going to be in celebration of that. And, you know, cheers to our election board. They worked hard on this. And as you know, the state mandated that there be two from each party on the board, which means that you can't get – you're always going to have split votes. Right. And that was intentional. So then it has to go to the state. So the state actually decides what your early voting hours are. Hmm. Fortunate for us, our folks in Orange County really get along well. Mm-hmm. They enjoy their discussions. They didn't agree at the end. They did not come to consensus. The early voting hours did have to go to the state. But we did get Sunday voting, which was, you know, cheers to them. They really
Absolutely.
Did a great job.
So. You know, this is one of the – probably one of the most unappreciated jobs in our democracy is the people who volunteer and or work for election offices,
yeah,
because they tend to have to be apolitical people. You know, they're not partisans. They might belong to one party or the
right.
other, but they're not there to, you know, beat anybody one way or the other.
No.
And they're all about the issue of voting and promoting it and protecting it. And they're our neighbors. This is, you know, I am so thankful at this moment in our history that states and local authorities run elections and not the federal government.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you even imagine?
Right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Does my head explode just thinking about that?
That's a good point because, you know, we talked a little bit before about how many people are actually going to come out to vote and
right.
what's anticipated on early
right.
voting. But we're hearing that, you know, surrounding many of these topics that we talk about. It's going to be a blue wave. No, it's not going to be a blue wave. We're going to see this many people come or that many people. Mm-hmm. People are pumped up. People want
and
to
anxious
vote.
At the same time.
Yeah, I think
yes.
that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's right. After what happened during our last presidential election, I think people are very anxious.
Yeah, yeah.
And they want to make sure their vote counts.
Yeah, and so we're going to take our anxiety and we're going to take a quick break and step aside talking with Penny Rich about voting and elections and how it all works here in Orange County. And we've got a lot more to cover, some really important information. So don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Okay, we're back. Jean Baldick here, host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and I am talking to Penny Rich and telling her how much I love paper.
Mm-hmm.
I love paper. You know, I'm just going to go right into the rabbit hole right now. I'm telling you now. When I go into Walmart or Staples or any of these types of stores, I get into those aisles with notebooks and pens, and it's the writer thing. I'm like a kid in a candy store. I just want to buy three notebooks for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. It's like an artist buying more and more sketchbooks, I guess.
It's the
tactile experience
yeah.
of writing, which you get more and more away from when you type a lot on a keyboard. But I love me some paper. And when I think of paper these days, I think of how North Carolina has, and at least not that I recall, at least in Orange County, we use a paper ballot.
We do.
And, man, I love me a paper ballot. I see it. It's in my hand.
That's
it's
right.
marked. I don't have to rely on a machine poking a hole in it exactly the right way. When I first voted in North Carolina, I lived in Durham. And I voted in a regular old voting machine where you go in and you pull the lever and it
yep.
closes the curtains behind you. And that's the only time I ever voted in a voting machine like that. I guess I voted in Connecticut once, but I don't remember the mechanism for doing it. Probably was a voting machine like that. But then we moved to Orange County, and so ever since, 'twas ever thus that we voted with a paper ballot. And I cannot tell you how many happy things I have to say about my confidence in how our votes are tallied in our county.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes maybe not quite as fast as we'd like. There's going to be an outlier
right.
precinct
yeah.
that
on
has a problem.
Night, yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm telling you, I love me a paper ballot.
Yeah.
And there was a story that I read a few months ago about Terry McAuliffe, the former governor of Virginia. And he said that, and I feel like this hasn't gotten enough attention, he said that when he was governor of Virginia, he took one of their voting machines that they use throughout the state, an electronic voting machine, and he brought it out to Las Vegas to the Hackers Convention. And, you know, they have contests at this convention every year, the hackers, to see how fast they can hack into various systems. They bring in prototypes of those systems, and they have contests to see who can get in. And he said, you know, with these machines, it took them – and these are almost entirely people who were under 30 years
old. Of course, old. Yeah.
And they got into those machines. They hacked into the Virginia voting machines in a matter of minutes, fewer than 10. And more importantly, and they could, by hack, to be specific, I mean they could go in, they could access the data in that machine, change a voting result,
yep,
and get out of the system. And with just a couple more minutes, they were able to get into the machine, change the vote in that machine, get out, and it was not possible to detect that they had been there. These were kids doing this.
Sure.
Now, he said that he brought this information back to his state, and the state of Virginia said, paper ballots for us.
Yeah.
And they got rid of these electronic voting machines. I am no fan of voting over computers or smartphones or any of that. Registration, automatic registration, you should be registered to vote. If you get a driver's license, you should be registered.
Right.
The end.
Right.
That's easy.
You can opt out if you don't want to vote.
And you can opt out.
Yeah.
I'd love to know the reason why.
There shouldn't be an opt-in.
And then you can opt in later to make a party affiliation, but you don't have to.
Right.
And I think that personally that because some states are already doing that, that that's one of the reasons that independent voters have swollen among you know, proportionately,
right,
nationally,
yeah,
because more and more people are getting registered automatically. It probably also explains why the numbers, the turnout numbers, have held kind of flat-ish and, you know, are not up in the 60% and 70% and 80% range where I'd like them to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, all of that said, I've said, you know, for some time now, and I'm just going to say it again in case anybody forgot, that I think history, not the news business, which is more immediate, but I think history is going to tell us that the Russian government's intelligence operation, in fact, did hack into systems, did change votes in Pennsylvania and Michigan, and in the key states where they only had to change just a few,
right,
just enough. And that if you studied the precincts, and, you know, they have pretty good intelligence operations, no matter what any of us would like to say. And I believe that they changed the vote and got Donald Trump, put him into the presidency. I really believe that that's the case.
Right.
I don't think we have the proof of that at this point in our history, but I think we will.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I also think that Donald Trump doesn't care. And he chooses not to do anything about it.
Well, of course he doesn't care because he doesn't believe that for a second. He
right.
thinks it was his brilliant,
well, that's his ego.
His brilliant
right.
operation that caused and that, you know, and that Hillary, you know, just blew it and lost the election.
Right.
And, you know, he just doesn't understand even what's happened.
But I think you said during our break while we had a brief conversation that he's now left the back door open. And that's absolutely true.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Turned off the alarm system,
right.
left the door open, left a flashlight by the door, just come right on in. And I'm so concerned, Penny, about to the point of almost being fearful about it. I really feel like a senior citizen. What's wrong with being a senior citizen? I really feel, you know, just enormous concern that I've never felt before, that as we get closer and closer to Election Day, that these little things that can look like they're not necessarily related, things on the power grid and in various electronically controlled systems that work in an interconnected way, can start failing, and that this can affect voter turnout in ways that are not going to be obvious in the immediate situation.
Right.
So I worry about that. And so my thing is, I hope that we have a gigantic amount of early voting turnout.
And I think
if people are worried about that,
yeah,
this is the best way to guard against mischief.
It is. And I think we should encourage that. And, you know, any time I can, I am going to encourage people to get out for early voting. It is – if we think the turnout is going to be like predicted, spread it out. Get out there early.
And, you know, the GOP on the national level with their ridiculous rhetoric – talking about the poor victims of men falsely accused of sexual assault and all this stuff, which is just so obviously, you know, it's just nonsense.
It's nonsense.
I'm embarrassed for them that this is what they have to.
I agree. You know, they should be ashamed of themselves.
I'm just embarrassed for them.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we're seeing upticks in GOP enthusiasm. I think it's temporary. They've won their fight with Kavanaugh, and I think that they're just going to, you know, sit back and I think they're not going to turn out.
Well, let's hope so.
I think that the anger turns people out. You know, we haven't liked that over the years as Democrats, but I think that that's just going to be the fact. Angry people vote.
And I think we are angry. And I think that it's turning into energy. It's not – the anger is turning into good energy. So, you know, you want to say – tell people to stop being angry and – that's okay. But how about telling them to turn it into something good, like writing postcards, like making calls, like going and knocking on doors? Here, we live in our little bubble here. We know who's going to be elected here.
Right.
Get out of the county. Go do it somewhere else. And I think really important is because we have the judges that are really, really important. And we have these ridiculous amendments that – We need to convince people that these amendments have to be stopped.
Right.
And, you know, we all were saying nix on six or, you know, vote all down, whatever. They're ridiculous amendments. The other side tried to hide them and hide what they're all about and change the wording on it to confuse people. Don't be confused, folks. These are not good. And this changes the Constitution of North Carolina. It is not what we want to be doing.
I mean, here we sit in agreement with Pat McCrory about anything.
Right.
How rare a situation is that? I couldn't agree with him on tomorrow's weather forecast or yesterday's. But I agree with him about this. I mean, you know, he and all these former governors, they've all said no on this. And Governor Cooper, of course. And I don't know what to say about that. We're obviously not going to be, you know, giving off a list of, you know, candidates that we endorse. But here's what we endorse. You and me and McCrory, I think, is, you know, get out and vote. Find out if you have neighbors who have trouble getting around and you know that that's a challenge for them. Help them get out and vote.
Polls. Yeah, that's what I'm telling my kids now. They're like, well, what can we do? You know, because they have absentee voting because they still vote here.
Right.
And what can we do? What do we need to do? And I told the oldest one who's graduated college, I'm like, go over to the college campus and talk to kids and see if they're going to vote. Get them to vote. You know, just see if you can give them a ride.
Dare them.
Yeah.
Dare them.
See what's going on. The younger one is very active in Greensboro. He said the scene there is really hot right now. So
really?
And people are angry and, you know, he thinks it's not going to be a problem that in Greensboro itself. People will get out to vote. Now, Guilford County in general is a little bit different. He hasn't ventured outside of his little bubble in Greensboro.
I'll tell you what, though. I think there are many, many opportunities that people don't think about. When you're waiting in line at the grocery store, talk to people.
Have a conversation.
Talk to people and say to them, hey, listen, are you excited about voting this year? I'm just interested. Not asking you your party affiliation or anything, but are you excited to get out and vote this year? It's going to be kind of a crazy year, right? Yeah. You can talk about this stuff. For quite a while without teasing out anybody's particular affinity for a party this way or that way.
Right.
And I just think if you're in an elevator with somebody and you have 30 seconds, pitch them on the merits.
Yeah. Hey, did you hear there's early voting on Sunday this year?
Hey, you know, it's early voting on Sunday. Isn't that great?
It's amazing.
It's wonderful. It's so great that everybody's going to get out and do this. And, you know, I hope you get out there, too. And whoever you're for, I hope they win.
Yeah.
And try to mean it.
Hey, you know, it's exactly. Yeah, there's going to be gospel on Sunday. Did you hear that?
That is so.
Amazing, right?
And promote events like that are all about getting people together.
Right.
And, you know, it's harder to hate somebody when you're sitting there, you know, eating some barbecue with them, you know, or some fried chicken or whatever your favor is. I think that stuff brings people together. And the more the community's connected in that way, the more difficult it is for a demagogue to come in and just tear the place up, you know.
That's a really great point, Gene. I think that we are so so polarized now, and it's just destroying our country. And I think that we've got to do a better job of talking. And you know, people keep saying, oh, both sides, and we have to do on the other side. If we just forget about sides for a minute and think that we're all human beings, maybe we could just sit down and talk and be kind to one another.
What a thought.
Yeah,
it's a pretty crazy idea. We're going to come back with a couple more crazy ideas with Penny Rich. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. And we're back for our closing moments with Commissioner Penny Rich. So on the ballot, here's what we don't have on the ballot. Obviously, it's not a presidential year.
Right.
Wah, wah. such a shame.
Can't come soon enough.
Yeah, any minute now. It feels like – listen, by the way, right after the first of the year, it's going to feel like it's any minute because, man, declarations of candidacy for the presidency
explode.
In 2020 are going to be – everybody walks by a microphone in January is going to say, and so today I announce.
Right.
I'm the luckiest man. Anyway, so, okay, so we don't have the president. We don't have either senator for the state of North Carolina. We don't have a governor's race. These are all things that are not in this cycle.
That's right.
We do have we don't have any school board, either school board in the county. Those are offside.
Right. Or municipal elections.
Or municipal elections.
Right.
We do have a couple of county commissioner seats.
Yep.
Which kind of, because of how our county is, those are effectively decided in the primary.
In the primary, right.
So we'll be saying, bidding adieu to Mia Burrows.
Mia, who served one term, 4 years.
Yep. And Barry, who served since the dawn of time.
5 terms or 20 years.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Wow. It's
hard to believe. You know, the thing about Barry leaving is all that history goes with him.
Yeah.
So when we're talking or discussing something in a meeting and you're trying to figure out when something happened, he almost always remembers when it happened.
I know. And I was at that meeting.
Yeah.
Right. And then he'll give you something that you never knew about that in
the first place. Yeah.
Yeah. And you really do miss that. You know, you don't. That probably doesn't get the credit that it deserves. We should
do a whole
show about that, about
continuity
of local government.
You should bring him on.
Yeah, we need to get him. We need to drag him in here.
Yeah, I think that would be really
to do a
something.
What have I done for 20 years a program with Barry. If you're listening, that's going to be the explanation for that email that you're about to get.
Right. And then we have the state legislators, right? So we have our representatives and our state senator.
Right. And of course our member of the House of Representatives, David Price, will be running against an opponent who I suppose is probably going to lose.
Yeah, I would imagine that's
I would
correct.
Imagine so.
Yeah.
But even so, if you're for David Price's opponent, get out there and go vote for your person.
That's
we want you to vote.
We want everyone to vote.
Everyone to vote.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. Because your vote really does count. You just never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never can be completely sure. You know, when I ran for the school board, now I'll fall into my reminiscence. My reminiscence. When I ran for the school board in 1994, it was in the spring. It was for the Orange County Schools. And I remembered Moses Carey saying on many occasions when there would be these cycles of elections and whatnot, like after Clinton was elected and whatever, and he would always say, you know, people need to get out and vote. You just never know.
Yeah.
You never can tell when all of a sudden the other side is mobilized and you arrive at the polls and who are all these people? And if that's when you figure it out, you're way too late.
It's too late.
You should always mobilize your side, you know, advocate for what you're for. And don't concern yourself too much about the other side, because both sides should agree that we should bring it up and vote on it,
mm-hmm.
and then go forward after that.
That's right.
And I always remember that advice, because that year, 94, I just don't think that we knew, in the spring of 94, that was going to be the year of Newt Gingrich's Republican Revolution.
Oh, goodness.
And man, oh man, did they turn out. And I was tagged as this, you know, Chapel Hill liberal, which I am, but you know, I went to all these debates, and my positions for the schools really had nothing to do with the things that I was liberal about.
Right.
They had, you know, my positions for the schools was that I wanted the schools to be a safe place for kids to go to school. That was a thing back then, unfortunately, just like it is now. And, you know, there were too many things that my Republican counterparts had completely in common with me for them to have any credibility that it should be them and not me.
Yeah.
Getting elected. And it turned out that I didn't get elected, but I felt a lot better that fall when I saw this gigantic wave of Republicans come into office at every level.
Yeah.
And I felt somewhat less rejected.
Right. It wasn't personal.
it was a little bit personal. It was a little bit personal. But look, the voters had their way and voted, and I supported the board that was elected.
Right.
And supported the schools, you know, all that time. And I'm still working on a task force right now for the Orange County schools.
You're always doing it.
You know, It's the Hotel California. You can check out, but you never leave.
Yeah. And let's not forget about also the judges are on the ballot this time around. That's really important.
Now, do they have party affiliation or no?
I think they were trying to change it. There wasn't. So I don't know if they're actually
– I think those are nonpartisan. They're
supposed to be. But the General Assembly wanted folks to have that R or their D next to them. So, that's
interesting.
I don't know why, but that's what they wanted. And okay, I believe it on the ballot that they will have them.
How do you run for judge?
Yeah.
I will be the best judge.
Yeah.
I'll be the most
fair judge.
I think
it's more about your history and what you've done.
Right.
Yeah. And then we have to mention the 6 amendments again that are on there we're hoping that people realize that we don't need to be changing our North Carolina Constitution.
Especially
there's one that's a voter ID, and we started this discussion.
It's just going to fail. Just going to be ruled unconstitutional again.
How many times and how much money can we spend on lawsuits? How much?
It feels an indefinite road of just going over this again and again and again.
And again, again.
Speaking of roads that seem to never end, we've come to the end of the Weekend Water Cooler for this hour, which is a tragedy, of course, as usual.
That went so fast.
That went by fast.
That was an hour.
It's like other people's pregnancies. They always go, it goes by very fast for me.
Yeah.
Right? But listen, senior correspondent, for all matters about elections, come back again as quickly as possible, and maybe we'll have more information about how things are going with voting and if we have to get more information out based on how things are going. But I really appreciate you coming in and talking about all this, and we'll keep our fingers crossed for a great turnout this year.
And I just want to say thank you to you. I mean, you are – wow. Do you inform? Yeah. No, you really do. And you pick topics that are so important. And this one really is. Voting is just so important. And not that the others weren't, but this to me was...
Well, voting is what makes all other topics possible.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So when we want to come back and talk about race and about abortion and about anything that is just, wow, really hot, it's because we can vote. And we protect that right.
That's
what allows us to do it. Thank you so much, Penny
Thank
Rich.
Thank you.
Everybody have a great weekend and get ready to get out there and vote. Go get a sample ballot, study up, and be ready. It's a big exam and it really matters. Have a great weekend.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.